outline may contain sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised.
3, 2, 1, go!
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is chasing a nickel somewhere in the other part of the country. What? All right. He's really got to commit to this show. It is absolutely ludicrous that we get paid the same amount, yet I'm here night after night busting my hump. You get nothing and like it. Dr. Bruce, board certified, knows addiction medicine.
Right.
Knows emergency medicine.
Yep.
Also is a whiz with the laser for tattoo removal and premature aging removal. Right?
Very well
wrinkles,
said.
That kind of stuff.
Yes, sir.
And what else?
That's it. That's
I had anal sex and I passed out a couple times.
I collect a bunch of old guitars and try and sell them to the bands when I get here.
Incubus is our guest tonight. Dirk and DJ Kilmer are both here. Dirk Lance, that is. And yes, Dr. Bruce is very embarrassing. You cannot take him anywhere because he collects instruments and then he accosts the bands that come in here and talks to them. And they think they have to be nice to him. Because he's a doctor, and he's, you know, they think
just
we...
Just looking for a prescription.
Yeah, they think... Yeah, they're trying to score. They think we like him or something, and so they can't tell him to F off, so they end up talking to him. And then next thing you know, you see No Doubt, the guitar players playing Dr. Bruce's... what the hell was he playing? No Doubt.
Yeah, he was using my amps and a couple of guitars.
Right.
So how did I force that on him, pray tell?
Just quiet down. And we're over at the drag races... 2 weeks ago in Pomona, and we run into Michael Anthony from Van Halen, and there's Bruce talking Michael Anthony's ear off, and we ended up leaving him at the drag races because he wouldn't leave Michael Anthony alone.
Hey, he was very interested in the guitar, and by the way, if you've lost my phone number, you can always contact Loveline if you're interested in the one-off Rickenbacker.
Yeah, Dirk came in here, and he goes, bass player. He goes, what hand are you? What hand do you play?
Incubus is, we're going to hear something off the new CD, Morning View, or not-so-new CD, but medium-new CD, Morning View, and tell you about some tour dates and all that stuff. Everyone's from Calabasas, right?
Oh, I am.
Is everyone? Who else?
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm the only one that's not.
Where are you from?
I'm from a small little town on the east coast of Pennsylvania called Dillsburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
It's like central Pennsylvania, you know, Amish country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris is pretty Amish.
I'm pretty Amish, yeah.
I went to a Quaker school out there when I was like in kindergarten or something. And then you moved out here when?
I moved out here in October 95.
And the band was already together, obviously.
Yeah.
By then, how'd you get hooked up with them?
They had a previous DJ who they had a falling apart with, so they got rid of him and called me up through one of my... I was in a whole bunch of different bands, and I knew a manager guy. He called me up, said, hey, I got this lawyer that wants to call you. Is it cool? I got a gig for you. I was like, cool. And he calls me, and then 5 minutes later, Mikey calls me, our guitar player. I go and try out with these guys, and... We sort of clicked right away, right?
That's 4 years later.
Yeah, 4 years later, I'm here.
How do you try out as a DJ?
Well,
how does that work?
I think I went in there thinking that, you know, I got to show them what I got and how I can fit in with the band and everything. But it was more like, does this guy chill with us? And is he's got the talent, I guess, but it was more like...
Personality-wise.
Yeah, do I fit in with them? Because we got to live on a tour bus pretty much 10 months out of the year together.
Right.
So I think they're more of the mindset, can we get along with this guy?
Right.
You know, we can maybe mold him and see if he works out, and if he doesn't work out, we can fire him later, but can we get along with him right now?
Yeah, I think it's probably something that a lot of bands could have looked into a little bit earlier. And speaking of Van Halen, when we were talking about them earlier,
you got to
live with these guys, and you got to live with them when they're really high and drunk,
and in extremely close quarters.
Well, Michael Anthony's famous for like playing bass with one hand and drinking with the other.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah, they each have their identifying habits.
Hey, you got a bass with a cup holder on it?
Oh yeah, actually. I saw you guys. I was trying to recover from my System of a Down experience and Saturday. Oh.
You went to, Dr. Bruce went to Vegas with System of a Down.
Oh,
why
no.
did you go to Vegas?
They invited me.
But why? Again, they thought they had to be nice to you. Right? Were you in here when they were in here last?
Possibly with my laser. Actually, the girlfriend's like my laser, so the guys have to put up with me.
Yeah, the laser is an actual laser. That's not a euphemism for his penis or anything. It actually has a laser.
A laser?
Yeah. It's outside. Yeah,
Dr. Alan Parsons?
So, oh, yeah.
They
spoke very highly of you.
You're faggoty, so. We're good friends.
Yeah.
So,
just say hello.
So you ended up talking to John from System of a Down. And Chavo or somebody.
Yeah.
And then
Gamblers Anonymous.
You ended up going to Vegas with them?
Yeah.
With them?
Oh, no, I showed up there separate. They wouldn't take me in their bus.
Good.
Because the laser didn't have a plug, so.
And you saw them where? At the House of Blues or something?
Hard Rock Cafe.
When was that? A couple days ago?
Thursday night.
I ran into Chavo at the Hard Rock Cafe once.
Right.
Next thing I know, it was morning.
Gambling time.
Yeah. Those guys are a good time.
So Saturday night, I was just trying to recover and watch TV, and I see these guys with Britney Spears on something or other.
Yeah. TRL.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird.
I think she was scared of us.
She was. No, it wasn't scared. It's like, have you ever seen a look on somebody's face when you ask them a pop quiz question? They have no idea because they didn't study.
Right.
So, like, hey, Carson's like, hey, you know Incubus, right? And she's like, I didn't know this was going to be on the test.
Yeah. Well, did she cover for herself, or she mentioned?
She smiled. You know, what else does she need to do?
She sung Happy Birthday to Brandon, which was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. The whole crowd did, but she was singing too. Was this the
Mardi Gras thing? Was this the New Orleans thing?
This was in New York.
What the hell is Britney Spears doing? She was promoting her movie.
But
she just did the whole Mardi Gras thing when we were in New Orleans. She was over there doing TRL, basically.
Well, I can't get enough. These guys look sort of bored.
All right, you're right. We'll take some calls. Thanks, Bruce. But you're not going on tour with the band. You understand that? I forbid it.
Oh, I want to see what this laser thing's all about.
Annika?
Here we go.
You're 16. What's up?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask the band what happened to the old DJ and how DJ Kilmore came on, but you guys kind of already answered that.
All right, Bruce, I'm going to sock you right in your redheaded beak. Jesus Christ, that's the first question you line up for tonight, the one that I already asked 20 minutes ago?
I was so far ahead of the game, I chose that call before the show started.
Shut up.
All right, here.
All right.
Here's another one.
No. William?
Yeah.
You're 16. What's up?
Yeah, me and my girlfriend, we were going at it. And oh, before this, Adam, you're a god.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And I love the Man Show.
Right.
You and Jimmy's not as much of a god as you are.
Yeah,
he's not as perverted as you.
Sort of a medium god.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I'm like a maxi god.
Yeah. Okay, so me and my girlfriend were going at it, and
like fighting?
No, like having sex.
Oh.
I guess that's what they call it now.
Yeah, it's the new thing.
Uh-huh.
We were going at it, and she was on top, and we were going at it, and it popped out, and she fell on top of it, and I heard a snap.
Right.
And it's all swollen up and everything. And my doctor said, oh, no, it's fine. It'll go away in a couple days.
Hmm.
And so this is for Dr. Bruce.
Yeah. Well, first, you dodged a bullet because I know you think you hurt your penis, but if it had popped out and stuck her in the other orifice, you'd have a swollen eye right now. That's the reaction you get. Does that ever happen to you?
No.
No?
Okay. You can fracture your penis and... Yes, and if you had your doctor examine it, I assume he's qualified and determined that you didn't have that kind of an injury. So you can have swelling and not have the fractured penis. It's pretty obvious to a physician examining you if that's
what,
the case.
What fractures?
Well, you have the corpus cavernosum. You have the part of the penis that the blood goes into to cause it to cause it to be hard. And
right.
If you apply too much pressure and... If the pressure increases too much, it actually explodes or breaks or pops.
Yeah.
So that's something that requires urologic consultation, sort of a urologic emergency.
It's like that movie Scanners, except for it's your penis.
How long ago did this happen?
A couple days ago.
Is it?
Wait a minute. You have like, you, am I right to say that you have like a couple of ballast tanks on both sides of your penis that fill up with blood to get an erection, and those can be ruptured or broken
ballast
somehow?
Tank? No wonder the submarine euphemism, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's a couple of tanks there that you pump blood into, and they fill up, and then it's a periscope, basically. All right. So he's fine. He had his doctor look at it, right?
Mm, probably wasn't a urologist. If it continues, if it remains swollen and painful and he's unable to have an erection, he should go back.
William?
Yeah.
Go to a urologist, all right?
Okay. Hey, you guys?
Yeah.
I just called up right now.
Yeah. All right. I know you guys wanted to hear what he had to say, but believe me, if you've done this show for seven years, you don't want to hear what he has to say.
Just thinking about that.
Never good.
It's painful.
It's just never good. Susan?
Yeah, hello.
You're 17?
Yes, I am. Hi, hi, Adam and Dr. Bruce.
You got a question for Incubus?
I sure do. Hello, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I had a question for you. I guess this applies to Derek more than to Chris since he wasn't there at the time. But what inspired you guys to write Favorite Things? Do you know? Like what Brandon or whoever wrote the song, how they were inspired by it?
God, that was a number of years ago. Looking back on it, I think it's actually a ripoff of a song from Sound of Music with the same title.
Mm-hmm.
But in a flipped around sort of way, it's talking about organized religion and just people kind of imposing their views on you and how you don't have to listen to other people. You can have your own favorite things.
Right.
Either that or I just completely made that up. And the guy who actually wrote the lyrics is probably going, what are you talking about?
Right.
I'm just the bass player, you know?
Right, that's cool. Oh, and I wanted to say, DJ Kilmore, you are a great addition to the band.
Thank you.
And you guys are, like, my favorite band, and, like, everyone I know knows it. And I want to say, yeah, keep on doing what you're doing, and you guys are great. So,
well,
and I can't
you.
Wait to see you at the forum.
Yes.
And can you tell Brandon happy birthday, even though you'll probably forget, but happy birthday,
he's
Brandon.
He's probably listening right now.
Oh, okay, happy birthday, Brandon. And, yeah.
All right, you good there, Susan?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just a little nervous. Cause,
that's all right. You've called from North Hollywood?
Yes, actually, you went to my school. Yes, North Hollywood.
Right.
Yeah,
hey,
a piece of
oh, what's the S word? Please. And by the way, I think she went to my school, right? I graduated 40 years ago, and I'm the big cable star. I don't think people are walking around saying that.
They named the gym after you yet?
No. No, they should. I should go over there and demand they name something. You know.
If you get shot, you'll get the gym.
You're right. That's smooth. I should go for that. I mean, I don't want to get killed, but I still want the gym.
Hey, they wounded Reagan. They winged him, and he became a national hero all over again. So, you know, you take a bullet in the shoulder.
Right. No, right. He got like a library or something, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he have some kind of position of power when he got shot? And what was he?
He was a movie star.
Oh, that's right. He was acting. He was doing those shit movies. Yeah. All right. I got to take a bullet.
Detention hall. We'll name it after you.
Now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to ask that North Hollywood High change the name of the gym to the Adam Carolla Gymnasium, but I'm going to be prepared to, like, walk with, like, a drinking fountain or something, you know? I'm going to start with the gym and probably maybe work my way down to, like, the snack shack or something, and with, like, an intermediate thing, like, have maybe the bookmobile named after me, which would be sort of comical since I've never read a book, and then eventually go down to, I was a ceramics major, by the way, hand to God, that is no lie. Ceramics major in North Hollywood High.
Were you major in high school?
I they said for some reason, you know how everything is different in everyone's high school except for fish sticks. That seems to be the universal bond in every high school. But we had to declare a major, and I was just as surprised as you were. And I was like, well, let's see, what class am I not failing? And ceramics came to mind, so I declared myself a ceramics major.
Yeah, but like a high school doesn't issue a degree or anything. What does it matter what you major in?
I don't know. And once in a while, a high school tries to make itself out like a college, or there might just be, like, I don't know if they still do that. Some guy comes in and has an idea that everyone should declare a major, and what are the students going to do? Burn the place down? It's like, all right.
Well, North Hollywood High.
I know. My high school, those type of classes had all the girls in it, so that's why all the guys were in it.
The ceramics?
Ceramics, home ec.
No.
Yeah.
Cooking. You'd think it would be that it would have been a nice consolation, but no, I didn't get any poontang out of the whole deal either. John?
Hi, guys.
Hey, you're 19.
Yep.
What's up?
I'm an assistant manager at a place, and I have an employee that wants to get involved with a customer, but he is 10 years older than she is.
Yeah? What kind of business is it?
It's a video rental place.
All right. Like just regular movies, or?
No, yeah, just regular movies.
Just regular movies.
Yeah, actually, we have to pull unrated movies off because it's too explicit.
I see. Yeah, and you guys, and you have a regular customer who comes in there?
Yeah, yeah, and she's 18, and he's 29, okay?
Right.
But she just got over the, she was like this good girl type, and now she's going into this like wild type person.
Yeah. You're 19?
Yeah.
Are you in love with her?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
You like girls?
Yeah.
Why is it you don't sound 19? This guy sounds like Mr. Rogers or something.
See, I
the picture
that.
Is like a, wearing a cardigan and smoking a pipe, going,
sure it's not your daughter?
Yeah. Really? You're 19?
Yeah.
All right.
Your concern's admirable, and it's not that age, 18, 19, and a guy that's 29, there's a big difference. It's not good for her, but, you know, if this were another employee, then you'd have something to say about it. Now, does she go to you for advice, or how do you... Or do you just...
Oh, it is another employee. Oh, you mean if this guy
this
was another
the guy
employee,
she wanted to
right?
Date.
No, yeah, he's a customer.
Was she going to listen to you anyway? I mean, what's...
Well, she came to me and talked to me, but then when I said something, it was kind of like she brushed it off. Now, I'm wondering, what could I say to make her really take me seriously that this is not a good idea?
Well, first thing you should do is take her into the documentary section, because then people know you're serious.
Oh,
no, because that's a very serious section.
Yeah.
Thin white lines, stuff like that. You know, a lot of heavy stuff floating around there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a place to really have it out. Have
yeah,
a heart-to-heart documentary.
Drama. Yeah.
Drama, yeah, but not like a musical or even action-adventure can be a little lighthearted.
Stay away from comedy
Stay away from the comedy section.
No, I think he needs to spend some more time in the comedy section.
Well, ultimately, but you start off in the documentary, and then
you go to the foreign section, so she thinks you're smart.
Right.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, John, you're getting too involved with this. And are you sure you don't like her? Are you sure you don't like her?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't like her. It's just I don't want to see her get hurt.
Who are you dating right now?
No one. I pretty much just moved here.
Shocking. You're not dating anybody.
Thanks.
Unbelievable. All right. Maybe you're interested in her.
You know, yeah, in a way, but she's my employee, though.
Right, but you understand, you're both making under $10 an hour, it's all game on, game on. Yeah, people are like this. Well, there's a conflict of interest because I'm her supervisor. Look, you're making $8.50 an hour, she's making $7.75. You're wearing a paper goddamn hat and a smock. But this isn't what we're talking about here. It's Michael Douglas banging Demi Moore on the desk of the corporate room, you know, in the penthouse of the... No, you guys are working at an Arby's. Don't worry about it. This is the only perk of this crappy job.
This is how you meet women.
This is your only gig.
I don't think she's going to take any advice from John. Maybe he could get her to call here.
Hey, John?
Yeah?
You like her. Right?
To a point.
Yes, to a point. And now you just blew into town? You're new?
Yeah, somewhat new, yeah.
And everything okay? Are you a virgin?
No.
No? What happened? You got laid once?
What happened? I got...
Yeah? Did you have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that...
That was in the other state.
Right.
Before you... Niagara Falls. She was Canadian. You wouldn't know her.
Yeah, where are you from? He's in Minnesota now.
Yeah. I'm from Wisconsin.
Ah, there you go. There you go. All right.
Yeah, that explains it all, don't it?
Right.
John, get her to call.
Together.
Get her to call Loveline because she's never going to take advice from you. She could tell in a second that you probably like her.
Why don't you ask her out?
He works with her. That's
not a big deal. It's a video shop. She's 18. She could, you know, this is nothing. What do you think? She won the lottery to get this crappy job?
Can't go out with an employee.
Hey, John.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these video shop jobs, you there's too much downtime. Remember, you guys sit around talking all day, getting weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're getting too involved with her life. I say you ask her out. Why not? All right?
Yeah, just shoot for gold?
Yeah, why not? All right?
All right.
All right, buddy. Well, so where else are you going to find a date, right?
Yeah, so what should I do about this guy, though?
Well, you ask her out first.
Okay.
All right. And if he wants to date her, she doesn't like you, and she wants to date him, that's fine. It's none of your business.
She just pretty much stick out of it and let her live it?
Ask her out first and then get out when she doesn't want to go out with you.
All right.
Thank right?
you.
All right there, buddy.
All right.
Good times. Hey, what's the big rental this week?
Probably going to be Don't Say a Word.
Uh-huh. Has that new Britney Spears movie made it in yet? I think it should be in like Wednesday.
No? It's out on the theaters.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying, but I don't think it's long for the theaters. I think
I don't see it staying out too long either.
All right. All right, take care.
All right.
If you find that movie Youngblood, that hockey movie, set it aside for me.
Great movie.
It's a great movie there. Yeah, a lot of places don't carry that. John?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. You're 25?
Yeah, I got a pink list. What's going on? Dr. Bruce, how you doing?
What's up?
Yep. Hey, basically, I got HPV, and I have two questions about it.
Mm-hmm. That's the warts, right?
Yeah, got the vapors there, man. Basically, I was wondering, does a condom protect against that for the other person?
Well, you know, with HPV, it's ubiquitous amongst the sexually active young population. Everybody that's sexually active is essentially exposed to it.
Drew says that every time, which just makes me think he's got warts. I have warts.
The problem is it's hard to know when you have it.
Is that me?
Yeah, that was you.
Jesus Christ.
Very hard to know when you have it. Using a condom is not going to be as effective because it's in the secretions. It's very easy to transfer.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Using a condom is going to help quite a bit, isn't it?
Right. The problem with condoms, theoretically, condoms help.
Hold on. Let me tell you the problem with you doctors.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give us odds that we can understand.
All right.
Wearing a condom would greatly reduce the risk of getting warts or passing warts on, wouldn't it?
But in studies...
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let him know that.
Okay. It will reduce your risk.
Well, look, you guys don't want to... If it's anything more than 1%, you guys will put the kibosh on it. You know, it'll be like, no, don't do it. But people want to know where they are.
Right. In studies of condom use, the average is about 25% of the time they're not effective, whether that's due to the individual's lack of experience in using them or they're coming off or whatever it is. Maybe the penis is too small. Who knows? But condoms are...
Maybe it's too big.
Something... What?
Yeah, go ahead.
And then a lot of individuals don't use the cream. When you use a condom, you have to use the.
Bruce, what's happened to you tonight? Something happened. You want to just go take a leak or something and come back, shake it off?
No,
I'm falling apart. Your hair's all dried out and puffy tonight. It was all cool and had gel in it last time.
Oh, you want to go get the gel?
Go get the gel. Okay. No, get the gel now because you're not. You missed. It's Superman's cape, that gel for you. You had confidence. You had a swagger. Now you're back to dry head and you're falling apart.
Oh.
Get some of that gel in your hair and come back a new man. We'll take a break, all right?
Okay.
All right, so let's tell John that wearing a condom would help quite a bit, but there's no guarantees. That's going to prevent him spreading the warts to his partner.
But of all the STDs,
yes,
yes, there you go. HPV is
enough for you, Bruce.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You know why? Because you won't agree with a goddamn thing I say.
You're a prick.
You just go. You're nodding to the. Let the guy know it would help.
I did right from the start, but I told him that this is a case of a virus that is extremely, extremely contagious, and
most women don't know they have it, right?
Right.
Yeah, so what's it going to hurt? She's probably got it already.
Can't you get ovarian or cysts and cancer?
Cervical cancer.
Cervical, that's
right.
What I meant, sir.
It's good enough. Listen, go get your gel. I mean it. Get the gel. You need that gel. The old Bruce with the dry head is not working.
This is one of those nights when Adam picks on me. And
Is there another kind of night?
No, he came in here the other night. He had a handful of pomade in his hair.
You are an asshole.
And he was swinging like a pendulum, and he was a very confident man, and he was doing his job. But tonight he's all over the place. He's the old Bruce tonight. I want to see the new Bruce again. Go find him in the parking lot. Get some of that gel.
I'm not going down that park. There's too many Incubus fans out there.
Do you have any gel, though?
I don't think so. I think the gel's at home.
Rough day today.
We're going to go to the drugstore and get some.
I'm going
to
whip something up.
What are we going to do about your hair?
How dare you attack me in front of my legions of fans this way? Incubus is our guest tonight. We're going to hear something off the CD.
I got a couple of guitars in the car. I can bring those in.
Can't. Bless it, Bruce. Really, we're going to just shut the mic. Go get some gel. We'll be back after this. Hey, me, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce with the dry look, everybody. Went and saw this band. Check it out. Look at that. Look at that. Check it out. Chicken, mugger, mugger, chicken, chicken, mugger. This is what you saw in Vegas, right?
Yeah,
mugger, mugger, mugger. Ah! Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah?
I don't think there's any danger of you joining the band.
I don't know. They said I could play that hollowed out fish.
The what?
You know, that hollowed out fish. That wooden hollowed out fish. What is that thing?
Oh.
Bruce, do you not know what I'm talking about? That wooden, hollowed-out Mexican fish?
And I know a frog with some
all
wooden...
All right, all right. I'm not... I've completely washed my hands with you at this point, dry head. Incubus is our guest tonight. We got Dirk and DJ Kilmore here from the band. We're going to hear something off Morning View, the CD, and I think we'll take one call, and then we'll go there. I know you picked out a call for the band, but I looked up, and I saw D-Cup. And that's where we're now heading.
Bonesy, Bonesy.
What is this name? What is your name?
Rita.
Rita?
Yeah.
Oh. They spelt Rita, except for they put a Q on the end of it. So became a little confusing.
He's an idiot.
Yes. All right. So what's up there, Rita?
I have really big boobs, and I was just, like, wondering about, like, side effects of breast reductions.
Mm-hmm. People might not pay as much attention to you. Mm-hmm.
My broken heart. what are you? You're 16?
Yep.
What size are your boobs?
Like I'm in between a D and a double D.
Yeah. And it says here you're are you Asian?
Yep.
Oh man. That's great.
And, yep.
Yeah.
Is it negative attention you get that's causing the problem or is it back pain or some other physical problem?
Yeah, basically it's like back pain and like, I don't know, it's kind of a pain in the butt to have big boobs.
Why? Well, a lot of women pay good money to have big boobs.
Well, I don't know. I think they're kind of gross.
Well, what's gross about them? I'll be the judge of that. What? How big's like, the rest of you?
Well, I'm like 5'6 and I'm 120 pounds, about.
All right. Easy boy.
You know, I'd wait a couple of years until you're pretty much done with growing and then get a consultation from a plastic surgeon. Anytime you have general anesthesia or have a major surgery, there are risks inherent. And this type of surgery is not particularly risky. You're not having any internal organs messed with. And it's more a matter of the risk of infection, bleeding, things like that.
Well, no, wait. Hold on a second. Let me just get this straight. 5'6".
Yeah.
120.
Yep.
Asian.
Uh-huh.
D/DD cup.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Who is number one?
I mean, that's Minka.
I know.
Yeah, you don't run into this that often. You just don't.
A lot of women, especially in L.A., pay big money.
Yeah.
Like that.
What kind of shape are they in, Rita?
Good shape, I guess.
Oh,
I don't know how to
explain it. Wow. Really? I mean, it sounds to me like you just got a killer body. Why is that such a detriment for you in your life? I mean, what could be wrong with that?
I don't know. It's just I've had big boobs for a really long time, and...
But if what you're telling me, I mean, statistically is correct, 5'6", 120, and a D-rack, isn't that just a knockout body? I mean, don't you have guys chasing after you and stuff all the time?
But they're guys like you, unfortunately.
How
the
dare
more
you.
Immature.
Well, it's true.
How
dare you, dry head. I mean, isn't this a good thing? Aren't you, like, don't you have, like, the best body in your, you know, 11th grade?
Well, I mean, guys like it, but, I mean, girls sort of judge me by it, and...
Yeah, well, okay. So, I mean, all right, you're not having the back pain, though, right?
Well, yeah, I am.
Oh, you are? All right. Well, do some exercises or something, wait up on those boobs, because they keep growing, too, sometimes, right?
I guess one of my friends had it done, and she said that her boobs just grew right back.
Well, that's the deal.
Like,
yeah,
wait. Like once, do it right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You wait till you're like 50.
No. Wait a couple of years. I did see an interesting Psychology Today study that showed that men that are highly attracted to breasts, large breasts, are very immature. Yeah. So I just thought I'd pass it your way.
Right. But immature. Yeah, but here's your choice is immature or gay. So I'm going with immature. Fantastic, boys. We're all immature. Bruce is gay.
Nah, if you're sitting there talking to her, you're staring at her chest versus the guy that's looking in her eyes and paying attention.
Okay, but look, let me just make this argument before we hear the Incubus song. You know, you always hear about how shallow it is, us guys who like the big cans, how we're some kind of retarded Neanderthals. But what is the difference between a tight ass, a flat stomach, a great set of legs, or even beautiful full lips or high cheekbones? Why is that so different than a big rack? It's just another aesthetic feature to a woman that has nothing to do with her personality. I mean, why is it if there's a woman who has a nice flat-chested, if you're into her, hey, you're a real mature guy. But if you're into the chick with the big rack, you're some kind of Guido from New Jersey who drives an IROC Z. Why? It's just a physical thing. You didn't ask to see her IQ or look at her test scores either.
It may even go beyond just a physical thing. You know, everybody gets men who end up big chests get labeled like, you know, animals, that kind of thing. But if you think about it, might that not be? I'm looking to help you out here. Might that not be a sign of of general health and well-being and nourishment and, you know, a good family, like being able to raise a kid.
Right. You want to suck some silicone out of there. Nourish yourself.
I don't know where the hell I was just going with that.
Oh, I'm not sure either. But
I've said to Drew many a time, who's a fan of the flat chest as well, or at least claims to be for the sake of his radio image, puss. That, look, what's the main difference between a man and a woman? It's the cans. I mean, yeah, you got the genitalia, and then number two is the cans. I mean, you take a look at a guy, you know, with a little extra weight on him and a girl with an A cup, and that chest looks about the same to me. I want as far different from a guy as I can find. The bigger the boobs, the more the woman, the more man I am. Thank you very much.
I rest my case.
Incubus,
Guido from North Hollywood.
100% in this.
Thank you, Case.
All right. Let's hear something from Incubus, yeah? You got your wife up there, Anderson? This one is called Nice to Know You.
There we go.
There you go. Incubus, everybody. We're just talking about what how the nature of man is generally evil during that song, and we all concur on that one. Dr. Bruce is here filling in for Dr. Drew with his big dust mop head.
Give me a hat.
Get a hat or get something. Well, you know what you should do, Bruce? Just go out and go to the car and pull the dipstick out and drag it along your head or something. I mean, you got to get something going. Something going on that head, because we're not going to make the night this way.
Hmm.
You understand?
Okay, Guido.
All right, spit that gum out. Let's come back with a new attitude, all right, buddy?
Shut up, Corolla, hairy bastard.
Who is that?
Is that Brandon?
Yeah, who was that?
Was the voice in the sky.
Oh, it was Stryker from K-Rock, son of a bitch, and MTV, I hear now, too. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back after this. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is, who is this debonair young? Is this James Bond that's sitting next to me? Why, it's Dr. Bruce.
Hey.
He went into his car and he got himself a big tub of, what'd you get? What'd you get
some,
out of there? Gel?
Dippity-doo.
Yeah, some sort of gel.
Yeah, Anderson actually had a tub of dippity-doo in his car.
Ew.
I fear he uses...
Kidding with the dippity-doo.
What's he do with that stuff?
I think he beats off with it. I've never seen
that before.
Never seen it in his hair. But it's really, I feel like Monty Hall tonight because I announce we need some dippity-doo, and 10 minutes later, Anderson goes out to his car and produces a... little tub of dippity-doo. So
he's a real friend to me, risking your scorn by...
Bruce, put a little of that dippity-doo in your hair.
What if it reacts to this other stuff?
No, you'll be fine. What do you think? Your head's...
He looks like he just got out of the pool.
Your head's going to catch on fire?
I'm pretty desperate for a job that doesn't pay me anything.
Dirk Lance and DJ Kilmore are both here from Incubus. Morning View is the name of the CD. We'll hear there you go, Bruce. Looking good.
The wet look.
Confident man now, right? No, that's good. That'll do it. All right, let's...
You and our drummer would go good together.
Back to
he uses dippity-doo.
Yeah.
Well, I'm available for gigs. You know.
Yeah, oh, he's got the look, yeah. There's no doubt about it. Eugene?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Adam, you are a god.
Yes, thank you.
I have two questions for Incubus.
Whatever.
Right.
I love you guys. I mean, like, some mornings, your music is the reason I wake up, so thanks a lot. And,
well, thank you. You can change that by not setting us as your alarm clock.
Yeah, I was wondering how to fix that. Before I forget, happy birthday to Brandon and Mikey. Okay, anyway, I have two questions for you guys. One is, if you look at, like, the lyrics for Science and Fungus Among Us, and then, like, as progresses towards Make Yourself and Morning View, it seems like it's gone, like, from social commentary to something, like, you know, more introspective. So was that a conscious change, or did it just happen, like, did Brandon just start writing about himself more than, like, the world?
I think with anything, practice makes perfect, and Brandon has been through a lot since, and...
I think he's gotten more comfortable. I think starting out, it's a lot easier to write about something else and not about yourself. And then when you get more comfortable with what it is that you do, you can turn inwards.
Well, also, Eugene, when you come from the mean streets of Calabasas,
right.
you got a lot on your, you know, on your mind. You know?
Oh, yeah, I know. I have to take the long way home from school every day because otherwise I'd get beat up.
Oh, yeah, you're Calabasas too, right?
Yeah.
Jesus, that high school over there looks like a country club to me.
Putting out winners at that place, huh?
Is that place up off? Is that off of like Topanga or Mulholland or something?
Yeah,
geez, every time I drive past that, I look at that and I want to burn North Hollywood High down.
Why do you ever drive past that?
Hey, you know, sometimes I go down to the beach that way. I go take Topanga or go on. You know, got a nice stretch of highway there, and I just look at that school and I go, Jesus Christ, this is a public school? So nice. Yeah, I'm thinking of transferring there.
Get your gym named after you there.
Yeah, I'd probably get a gym.
Hey, actually, you know what? I want the key to that damn city, like, or at least a get out of jail or a speeding ticket free card, because we've helped put that thing on the map. And
yeah, you put Calabasas on the map, and it's probably going to be like the next Seattle, like music scene. You know?
Who knows?
Yeah, Orange County or.
I just want to. If I get pulled over, I want to be able to say, "Hey, it's me," and they'll be, "Oh, it's you." You know?
I'm not so sure. Do they still hand out the key to the city, or is that something that doesn't go on anymore? Remember when guys used to get the key to the city?
Deftones got the key to Sacramento, but it's Sacramento, so
right.
Yeah. on special occasions do they break out the key.
Hey, Eugene?
Yeah.
All right, so you go over there to go to Calabasas, huh?
Actually, I went to Calabasas last year. This year I go to Agora. But, I mean, we just anchor from there.
Whatever.
So.
Right. All right there, buddy. Well, enjoy your life up there in the hills.
Yeah, I had another question.
All right.
Okay, well, when you guys recorded, well, minus Chris, recorded Fungus Among Us when you were 16, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so,
yeah, 16 to 17, yeah.
Like, I'm in a band right now, and you know, like, in a couple of years, like, we're going to be going off to college, and I was just wondering, like, when did you guys make that choice that you want to, like, dedicate your life to music and, you know, not pursue whatever else you guys wanted to do?
Well, I personally left and went to college and decided to stay close enough so that I could still play with the band and get an education, so if the band thing didn't work, I could, you know.
Where'd you go to college?
I opted to stay at UCSB.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Gaucho.
Yeah, getting an education up there.
Huh? Yeah. Here's how you roll a joint. Wait, there's too much barley. That cake's going to explode. You can't make your own beer that way.
Go to school. You can always and pursue your music at the same time. Yeah. And if you're going to get a chance to do a record deal, my dad like did a really good job of explaining. He said it's like the chance to play professional sports. You know, if you get the opportunity, you take it. But otherwise, you get an education. You know.
All right, Eugene. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Stay off the dope.
Yeah, stay away from the dope. Leave that for the pros. All right. Let's talk to James. James?
Hi.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, seems like lately, and not so lately, maybe like 5 years since the last time I've actually had a girlfriend, I've had real difficulty talking to girls in general and just making connections.
5 years, so 15 you had a girlfriend?
Yeah. Nothing very serious.
No, that doesn't count, you understand?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you've never had a girlfriend.
I've had one single, I would say, really good relationship. Other than that, I you know, it's just been really few and far between.
How old were you when you had that one?
Probably
11?
Freshman.
11? Oh.
13, 14.
13, 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, James?
Yeah.
You really... I hate to sound like a prick, but you can't even count that. Yeah, you can't say my last relationship was 13.
Right.
Yeah, that's not a relationship. All right.
It wasn't very serious.
All right. Are you a virgin?
Yes.
Okay.
Where are you going to meet girls?
I don't really go to meet girls.
Yeah. Do you go to school or you work and what are you doing?
I go to school. I go to a university. But see... I don't go to the social hang. There's many thousands of places you could go. You know, you could go to the
library, the best spot. Yep.
Yeah, the cafes and the restaurants and all that. But I guess I just have a real social identifying problem or something like that.
Axel,
are you a good student?
I'm a pretty good student. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You got any male buddies?
Male buddies?
Buddies.
Buddies. Oh yeah, yeah. I got a couple of friends.
Do you drink at all?
No.
Are they
no problem right there?
Yeah. Are these male guys? Are they part of the nerd patrol? Or are they okay guys?
No, they're actually. I have a pretty ragtag bunch of friends. Not really like one specific group of college buddies. There's a friend in my other city that I used to live in. There's my roommate.
All right, yeah. James. We got to run to a break. But here's the deal. I would start with the guys. I don't mean nailing them in the ass. I mean start hanging with your buddies, the ones that have girlfriends, the ones that get out, the ones that like to have a few beers and party a little bit, and start hanging with those guys and see what you can pick up. But head out with these guys. You need some guys to get you started. You're gonna have trouble kickstarting yourself.
Maybe he's projecting the desperation.
Oh, like, I'm sure he is.
Pick that up, then it's.
It's all over.
All over.
Ask Bruce. Well, ask the old Bruce with the dry head. Well, Incubus is here tonight. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. Rico Suave is filling in for the old dry-headed Dr. Bruce.
What happened to Rico Suave? Gerardo.
Yeah, the general term Rico Suave seemed to be around a lot about 5-6 years ago, and it that was Gerardo.
That was 10 years ago.
Oh, was that 10 years ago?
That was at least 10 years ago.
That was almost 10 years. Yeah. 10
no,
years
it can't
ago.
Be at least 10 years.
That was 10 years ago.
It might have been like 89, and then late 80s. Right?
It was the beginning of the 90s, like 89, 90, 91.
10 years. That was Gerardo.
Well, that's what he called himself.
I mean, yeah.
Geraldo Rivera, his name is probably like Jerry Rubin, you know?
I miss, wait a minute, Jerry Rubin's the head of the JDL. Oh, that's Irv Rubin. That's right. All right. What were we talking about, Bruce? Anything? Incubus is our guest tonight. We're going to take some calls. We're going to hear some more from them, and I'll give the phone number out, 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's talk to Sylvia, who's 23. Sylvia?
Yeah.
You're depressed?
Yeah.
Yeah? How long have you been depressed?
Quite some time.
Yeah?
Like maybe a month or more.
Oh. Well, that's not that long, really.
Yeah. I was just wondering if it had something to do with the birth control pills that I'm on, or I don't know.
How long have you been on the birth control pills?
3 months.
Okay. When you're talking about depression, there are certain vegetative signs where your sleep is affected, your appetite. And
my appetite has been affected.
Okay. And you have no history of depression in the past and nothing situational that's occurred recently that would explain it? Loss of relationship?
I was molested when I was a kid, but I don't think that would have anything to do with it.
Nah. That has no psychological, no proven psychological effects on young people and their adult life. Maybe it's Gerardo's suspicious absence from the music scene over the last decade that has caused your slump. I know it's hurt me a little bit. No?
No.
No. And you don't think the molestation thing has anything to do with this?
No, because I rarely think about that. I was like 5 years old when that happened.
Well, as long as you were just a baby, that's fine.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, contrary to what you might think, the fact that you don't think about something like that has nothing to do with the relevance it has in your life now or how it can play into depression. If you get into a relationship, that frequently will bring up intense feelings that you may not even attribute to.
I am in a relationship right now.
Who molested you?
My mother's husband at the time.
Did you get any therapy?
My stepfather.
Was it reported or did you get any therapy?
It was reported and we did receive therapy, but I really don't remember any of the events.
Is your mom still with the guy?
No. They've been divorced for a long time. She's with another guy right now.
Yeah. They didn't break up because of this, but he'd actually ripped a sweater of hers later on in the relationship.
They did divorce because of the situation.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good.
He's still in jail for it, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, as good as it can be. Usually the mom's like, you hear these stories of the mom doesn't believe the kid and sides with the guy and all this kind of stuff. But that's good.
And it's protective for your mental health to block out many of the things that happened. And you might have very little recollection of what happened, and it may seem even irrelevant at this point. But
it's like Bruce doesn't remember the first hour of the show.
It's very painful.
I'd like
to forget the first hour of the show.
Right.
Well, hey, you might find that getting into a relationship will bring up feelings that are very intense and feelings you can't explain, and they may be related to that. So it's very helpful to go back and see a therapist as an adult, especially when you're getting into relationships. Sometimes when you have unexplained depression, certainly this could be related to your birth control pill, and you could talk to your primary care physician about that. But
My sister was molested too, and I don't know if she ever gets depressed or anything either.
But it's different in different people. The fact that it happens.
All right, hold on, quiet down over there, Bruce.
Okay.
Listen, screwball, why'd you call this show? To argue with Bruce?
No.
All right, well then listen to what he's telling you, would you please?
All right.
Jesus Christ, I'm not going to get you in a headlock and drag you over to the shrink. I go to the goddamn shrinks because my dad missed a handful of Pop Warner football games in 1975. I don't forgive that son of a bitch. And if you're listening, I don't forgive you, Dad. All right, you got molested. That's a big, big deal. Maybe even as much as the pain of Dad missing the Pop Warner football games, although I doubt it. But it could be argued that it is. So you need to go to the shrink and discuss this. Whether it's because of the molestation or not, you're depressed. You need to talk to a therapist, okay? Can you do that?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm saying, okay, but a lot of times when you go to shrinks, if you tell them something, they're like, oh, she's suicidal or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, you're right. That's right. Don't go then.
No, it's a rat.
Start doing coke. You're right. I stand corrected.
What you're expressing, though, that's a rational fear that people have.
They're going to disclose something. Hold on. What are you? Are you like a reptile? What are you talking about, Sylvia? You go to the shrink, you're having some emotional problems, and you talk to them about how you're feeling.
Okay, first of all, I wouldn't go to a shrink. I go to a marriage family counselor, okay?
Well, what do you got going? You got a problem with your husband or boyfriend?
I really don't have a problem with him. He's not here. He's in another state.
All right, so shut up.
That is a problem.
Yeah, where's he, on the lam, or is he...
He's going to a university right now.
University?
Yeah.
Okay. You just get a little counseling. All right? Okay.
And don't underestimate the molestation thing. A lot of people don't have the feelings and the problems
Bruce,
coming up to their 30s.
You nailed it. You just got to yell at people to shut up and do what I tell them to do. It's all right. They just want to argue. My sister was molested. She's fine. Sister's probably drunk right now and playing, you know, Pac-Man. She doesn't even know where she is. You know what I'm saying? Don't use your sister as any kind of gauge. And I guarantee your sister needs a little help, too. And I feel bad because you were victimized this way, but it eventually you got to take up for yourself. All right. Thank you. Michelle?
Yeah.
Oh, stepdad. What a lovely human being comes into the family. Hey, you got a couple of five-year-olds? Great.
Stepfather.
Fantastic.
Me?
Fantastic. Now, you know, I learned from this show that over 90% of step-parents molest. Maybe 98%, 99%.
Everybody who calls the show.
Yeah. Bruce, wait a minute. You're a stepdad, aren't you?
Yes.
How much molesting?
No.
Medium?
None.
Medium to light?
I get abused, but that's about it.
Right. Bruce is victimized. Hey, Brillo head, make us some cocoa.
Oh, they just took my...
Moxnell!
They took my Camaro recently.
Oh, really? Oh, Bruce, you're on the skids.
Do you have an IROC? I have an SS 96.
He wishes. Oh,
well, I can't use the hair stuff when I'm driving the car.
All right, quiet down. Michelle?
Yeah.
You're 17. What's up?
I was wondering... Hello?
Yes.
We're here.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say, Adam, that we're going to get married, okay? Because you're so sexy.
All right, when is that? I'm going to put that down. I got to tell my sister and I'll leave a weekend open.
All right. Dirk, I wanted to know if... Because you never took lessons, so I was wondering, how do you handle it, like writing the music and everything? And what's the musical process that you go with everybody and you go through with, like, the band members and everything?
I pretty much just tie them up and stick a bass in front of them and say, play this. I took lessons for 6 or 8 months. Or maybe, yeah, I think about 6 or 8 months.
How old were you?
13.
Wow. Cool.
What's funny is I go and I visit the guy who taught me how to play bass now and again, and he teaches kids our songs. So it's
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a really funny thing. I think just we all write songs in different ways. I think that just you just have a natural ear for music and start playing certain things and think of a melody and kind of go with it.
So do you need to go to a teacher to learn how to play bass?
Do you? Was that the question?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention.
And wait, my
Not
other
really.
Question?
Sort of. Wait a minute. Do you want to play the bass, Michelle?
Me? Well, yeah, I wanted to play guitar and I'm going to and everything. Right now I'm really nervous, and I have one more question.
All right, but you okay, so go to a teacher if you want to learn to play the guitar.
Okay. But was it hard for you? Like, because you're really good. Like, I just wanted to let you know that you were, like, the bombest person I've ever heard, and besides, like, a whole bunch of people.
Well, that makes me feel
good. But, like, was it hard for you to transition through it and everything?
No, I mean, we've been in this band for 11 years, so I started out and I was very, very bad at it, and after 11 years, I'm 11 years better.
Okay.
And after another 11 years, I would hope to be a little bit better, too. But you just got to get started and realize that no one, unless you're Mozart, no one starts out and just is amazingly good at whatever it is they do.
My other question is, there's, like, an extra verse in Drive and, like, the Kill the Beat, Crush the Hive or whatever. I was wondering why it was left out.
What?
There's an extra lyrics, like a couple extra lyrics in the song Drive, and I was wondering why they were left out.
Kill, are there extra lyrics in Drive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're the hidden lyrics. If you play the CD backwards, you'll hear them.
Really?
I think so.
Oh. All right, then.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. It's nothing profound.
Don't worry about it?
No, don't worry about it.
All right.
All right there, Michelle.
Okay, thank you so much, you guys. I didn't think I was going to get in. I love the whole show. I'm like, I got my friends addicted to it and everything.
Good, man.
Don't use that word on this show.
Oh, wait, why aren't you guys playing at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater? Are you going to do that or not?
All right. Jesus Christ.
This is like points me out.
Yeah, we have a... what's our tour? It starts in April 11th?
Yeah. No,
April, Seattle?
Portland. April 11th, it goes on to July 3rd, and it's all over the country.
It's all arenas. It's a big spot.
That answers her question, because we're playing arenas, not amphitheaters.
Right.
Yeah.
We're playing open.
What are you going to say, Bruce? Just notice, females that call that want to marry Adam, males that call, Adam's my God, watch it. Definitely.
Yeah, that always means trouble, psychological trouble.
Just a warning.
You know, it's funny when girls call, and guys, actually, young people that are really into the band like Incubus, and they're nervous. It's exciting for them. Bruce, I imagine it'd be like you growing up and talking to some of the members of, let's say, Mahogany Rush or something in 1974.
The Beatles.
Or the Beatles. Yeah. There's a band that people
much
may
earlier,
have heard of.
Yeah. Right. I'd be too nervous to call.
Too nervous. But part of the nerves always manifest itself this way, which is they ask the question, and about halfway into the answer, they're nervous, so they ask their next question.
Yeah.
And it's always funny. They're always like, Derek, I want to know how long it took you to learn how to play the bass, and if you had a teacher, and you're like, well, I started when I was 13. Okay, I have another question.
It's because the answer is not important. It's the fact that you get to speak to that person.
Right, but I always want to yell at him, hey, shut up. Let the guy's answering your question.
Yeah, I could drop some Christ-like knowledge, you know?
Oh, it would be like water on a duck's ass on this show. But believe you me, not an ounce of it sticks. Not an ounce. Janet?
Hi.
And all these pearls of wisdom just evaporating up into the atmosphere. Hi, Janet. You're 19. What's up?
Yeah, I made up my question. I'm sorry, because I just wanted to say hi to Dirk and...
Oh, Anderson cut you off.
Since when am I the popular one?
Yeah, well...
Kill's the better looking man, I think.
Yeah, she was getting a kill, but Anderson chopped her. Watch. Put her back on, because... You wanted to say hi to both guys, right? Janet?
Hey.
All right. Who'd you want to say hi to?
To Dirk and Mr. Kilmore there.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
There. No. Chelsea?
Yep.
You're 20?
I am 20, indeed.
All right.
Yeah, so basically the story went like this. I went to my friend's house to party this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Party serious?
Well, you know, I mean, it's after midterms. I could use a couple parties, but... Right. Yeah, so his house is about 40 miles away,
mm-hmm.
and I went there hoping, you know, that one of my friends who dropped me off could possibly give me a ride home. And
one of your friends who dropped you off at the party?
No, at his house.
At his house?
At his house. He didn't throw the parties.
Could give you a ride home.
Yeah, I had anticipated that.
Well, wait a minute. You drove over there with somebody, right?
Yeah.
So wouldn't you just drive home with that person?
They ended up needing to go home the next day for work. And so, like, push came to shove. I looked around for friends to give me a ride home back to my hometown, which is, you know, 40 miles away. And it wouldn't happen. And my friend, who insisted that he was studying hardcore, refused to give me a ride. And, I mean, all I could do was ask him to basically give me a ride to the freeway so I could hitchhike back.
Right.
Because that was the last straw, you know. I mean, like, I tried the bus. There is no train there.
Yeah.
So I ended up hitchhiking, and he called me about later that night and left me a voicemail that said, oh, I'm sorry, I think I really screwed up. Called me the next day, and basically whenever I called him, I told him that I could never, ever talk to him again because it was just so horrid. Like, I mean, it was pretty awful. Like, I'm 20-year-old female.
Yeah.
It's not a normal thing to go and hitchhike, especially on I-5. So,
What was your connection to this guy? Were you dating him, or
he's just a friend of mine, but we've been friends since childhood. We went to high school together in our hometown, and I sort of, like, I'm attracted to him, but we weren't dating.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, why don't you just sleep over there if you couldn't get a ride home?
I had classes today, and it was pretty important to attend.
Hold on. I'm wondering where your car is.
I have none.
All right. Well, this is what happens, by the way, when you're 20 years old and you have no transportation. You have to rely on the kindness of strangers. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, you get screwed. You're on the bus, you're hitchhiking, and you don't have someone who wants to drive you home.
Who the hell hitchhikes me?
I don't know. But that's the choice you make. I'm not saying these guys were Sir Walter Raleigh and dropping you off on the freeway entrance, but you drive 40 miles into some guy's house, and you kind of run the risk of not getting back. And I still didn't understand the part about the guy who drove you there. He had classes the next day or something.
Well, she had work. She had work, and she had to get back. And so
you could have gone with her, though.
I could have, but yeah, that was the sort of.
All right. What do you want us to do? Would it call a SWAT team and have this guy taken out because you declined to take a ride home with the person you drove to the party with?
I'm most concerned about you putting yourself at that kind of risk, and I'm not sure you're even aware of the how risky that is. I mean, that's just incredible.
I did refuse rides from a few cars because they just sort of
the ones that don't let you refuse that you need to be worried about.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well,
right.
I got a grandma to drive me home, so that was pretty nice.
All right. But you dodged a bullet.
Yeah. The thing is, I basically told him off today, and I was like, well, friends wouldn't do that to me, a friend that I'd have. And I said, basically, I really don't ever want to talk to you again. And I was wondering, I'm having second thoughts and thinking maybe that was too extreme and I should give him another chance.
I know my friends, if I drove 40 miles and they decided, that I needed a ride, they'd be like, yo, you got to wait till the morning.
Guys are crueler that way. But I'll tell you what the subtext here is. You're into this guy.
Yeah.
So that's what you need to admit. And, you guys remember when you were into somebody when you were younger and you weren't sure if they were into you or not, and you never told them you were into them?
Well,
and then
told them.
Oh, you told them.
But
all right, but don't screw my story up. I had a great riff going here.
Go on.
And then they tell you they're going out on a date, and you get all weird on them, and they don't know why you're getting all weird because they thought you were just friends and all this kind of stuff. You told them? How long ago did you tell them?
I told them, actually, the first day that I was there, I said, I have this crush on you, and I've been friends with you, and I don't want to screw that up.
Yeah.
I think he might have freaked out a little bit.
Yeah.
The crush thing tends to freak people out.
I'm guessing he's not into you, or he would have driven you all the way home, or at least halfway down the freeway.
Yeah. So
all right.
Do you think I should try to salvage the relationship?
No, I don't. Because you're wanting to salvage it because you're into him.
Partially. And
No. You're into this guy. That's why you're wrestling with yourself this way. Now, you shouldn't have told him to F off, but you only told him to F off because you were into him.
Yeah.
And you wanted him to be into you, but it was unrequited love. And when he dropped you off, you realized that was concrete evidence that this guy really ain't into me. Mm-hmm. So then you lashed out. So here's what you need to do, Chelsea. You need to call him and say, I apologize for freaking on you. What you did wasn't great, but I bear some responsibility for it. And, we'll be friends. And then hang up the phone, and he's out. That's
it. Stay away from him.
Stay out, because he ain't interested in you, and you're torturing yourself hanging around.
Okay.
All right, and find a nice guy with a moped and a big ass
that won't
get too far from home.
Some gel.
And settle down. Yeah, some hair gel. Preferably dippity-doo. All right, baby?
Sounds good.
All right, good times. Yeah. Whenever somebody freaks on you of the opposite sex, usually means they like you and you don't know it.
Yeah.
And you're wondering, why is this person crying and freaking on me? And, what we did was, nothing. I was just telling her about my date last night or something. And the tears are welling up. It's like, yeah, the person's into you.
And typically doing something like letting her hitchhike home and showing disrespect will make her like him even more, which is...
Yeah. It turns women on when you tell them to hit the road. You ever kick a bitch out of the car, Bruce? No?
I don't use the word bitch.
Yeah, but you've tossed a few. I threw my friend Michelle Carson out of the car on Mulholland once at 2 in the morning.
Is the car moving?
No, I told my buddy Rudy to pull over.
Oh, we're a gentleman. What was I thinking?
Yeah. Yeah, I told her to throw her out. She couldn't stop. It was one of these things where we're driving up on Mulholland, and this guy Rudy's a horrible driver, and I was drunk, and he may have been a little buzzed himself, but he wasn't driving that poorly. Oh, this is about 100 years ago. And she was in the backseat screaming at him, slow down, slow down, slow down. And he was driving normally, and she was just spazzing, and I kept turning around yelling at her to shut up, and she kept yelling, slow down, slow down. And then she was saying, let me out of the car, let me out of the car. And Rudy was like, don't be ridiculous. But after about the fifth, let me out of the car, I was like, Rudy, let her out of the car. So, pulled over on Mulholland about 2 a.m. up by, like, Coldwater and let her out of the car and drove away.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what happened?
She was raped and murdered. But I sleep like a baby. I sleep like a baby. She wanted out. She got out. No, she was pissed as hell the next day. But, listen, I stand by my decision. You're screaming, let me out of the car. Well, yeah, what do you want?
I'm sure Rudy wasn't
out of the car.
Rudy wasn't.
He has no idea.
Rudy could have had a little buzz going, but he.
So she was the only rational soul in the car. But
I was in the passenger seat. I was fine. I told him we're fine. He was driving fine. She didn't have anything to compare it to. This guy's normally a really horrible driver. And
he made it home, right?
Yeah, look at me. I'm in. I went on to have a successful syndicated radio show.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take ourselves a little break, and Incubus is here, so it's Dr. Bruce, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. This is my theme song.
It's a great song.
Yeah. It's the song that plays when I enter the clubs and the bars, when I'm making the scene, walking in slow motion, jacket flung over the shoulder, wearing the shades, hot-looking waitresses checking me out.
When you're masturbating.
But here's the song that's going on in everyone else's head. And that's the only downside to my song. It's only in my head.
Don't you wish you had it going on like I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, where you had your own like band following you around everywhere with your own theme music?
I'd like a mariachi band to just go in before me and sort of
set the vibe.
Yeah, announce my arrival. Eventually people would start catching on that when the mariachi and the guy with the huge guitar came in, it's like Adam can't be far behind.
You need a herald, like from medieval court. Some guy with a trumpet who just walks in and starts blowing.
Yeah, and then he opens a scroll and says,
hear ye.
Yeah. On the 22nd of September, this day of our Lord. You know, that kind of thing. And then I make my entrance. But to more trumpeters and heralding.
Yeah, with some flower bearers.
With my,
coming to America.
Right. And my crest hanging from the horn.
What would you have on your crest, just out of curiosity? Like, most people have, an animal. And what would you have?
I think it would be some, water-soluble lube. You know, maybe not a brand name, because I don't know if there's copyright problems with that. And, like a cot, you know, like a prison cot, you know, something simple, something folksy.
How indicative. There's some serious psychology going on that one.
Yeah.
California Youth Authority sort of vibe. That's
yeah,
what you got going on.
That's right. People know it's keeping it real. Not a bunch of griffins and castles and things like that, but, you know, more North Hollywood vibe, you know, sort of humble vibe.
Aren't you going to do all that for your reunion?
Oh, yes, I got, yeah, no,
you
I
want
have,
to
like,
do that, right?
Have a high school reunion coming up in, 6 months.
Ten year?
20-year reunion coming up. And, I think I'm gonna hire the folks, you know, maybe the mariachi, maybe the trumpeters, but I want to make a grand.
Oh, you're going to get revenge there, I bet.
Yeah, I want to show up on one of those, stretchers that the big guys carry on their shoulders, you know, and I sit there, like, drinking out of a chalice or something.
I just went to my 10-year.
Oh, really? What was that?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's good,
horrible.
Though. Yeah, but you... well,
I got real drunk.
Was that in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
You should have showed up in the Stretch Navigator with, like Motley Crue style.
Yeah, I got a ride. It was right by my house. I could have walked there. So I got a ride. I got somebody to pick me up.
Now, were the people hip to the fact you're an incubus?
Yeah, everybody knew. We went around and said what we did, and everybody was, you know, tow truck operators and electricians and things like that. And I was like, I'm in a band. I still do the same thing I did 10 years ago. I drink beer and have fun.
And,
you know,
so you were you're definitely the star of the reunion, though, right?
Yeah. So I got everybody else drunk.
Yeah. Was it a big school?
No. Maybe it was just under 100, I think, in my graduating class.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the whole school was like 400 and something.
So you're definitely the belle of the ball.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Well, like I said, I'm
cornfields and Amish people.
All right, let's take an incubus question, actually. Wait a minute, Eugene?
Yes.
Didn't we already talk to a Eugene?
Not the same one.
Oh, Jesus Christ, there's more than one Eugene out there? That is scary.
What's going on, Adam?
Hey.
Hey, I'm a big fan of you, a big, huge fan of Incubus. And I just had a couple of questions for Incubus.
No math.
First, who in the band still surfs? I know someone surfs in there, because you guys are always singing about the beach and the ocean. And the
Mike, Brandon, and Jose.
Okay, right on.
They're all hippies.
Hey, I'm in Santa Cruz, man.
Okay, actually, you're the king hippie.
Yeah, you're hippie, too.
Right on.
Dirk, you went to UCSB, and you didn't surf there.
There's tar from the oil rigs. You don't go in the water up there.
Oh, yeah.
No, very, very true. Been on that beach at Isla Vista many times and sat rubbing... The only thing that takes it off is like petroleum oil.
Acetone or something like that, but yeah. You lose a little skin, too.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
My God!
Also, my other question is, there's a CD before Science. I don't know, what's it called?
Fungus Among Us.
Dude, that CD is off the hook.
Oh, actually, there's two of them.
Some of the funkiest songs on there, like Shaft. Shaft is one of my all-time favorite.
Shaft himself wrote that song.
Isaac Hayes.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Hey, Eugene.
Yeah.
You smoke a little weed up there at Santa Cruz?
Without a doubt.
Yeah. You have to. They run you out of the city, right?
Exactly. It's almost legal here.
Oh, yeah.
Who told you that?
There's a hotel down here in downtown Santa Cruz where you can legally smoke it in this perimeter outside.
Really?
Yeah. It's a, it's supposed to be like for the cannabis club, but really all you have to do is go into the hotel and get a room and you can smoke.
Well, now you blew it for everybody.
Every DEA agent in the state will be there tomorrow.
idiot! That could be like one of those urban legends where, you know, it's like razor blades and the Halloween apples. Like, yeah, there's this place where I swear to God the cops can't arrest you if you're shooting up in the street or anything like that.
Hey, you know, I just learned from having a couple of cops on this show not too long, these movies, that if you were propositioned and you asked the chick, like, are you a cop? Or she asked you, she asked the John.
She had to tell you.
Are you a cop? I always thought they had to say it. Like in all the movies, when the prostitute asks the John, hey, are you a cop, man? If they're a cop, they have to say it. No, they don't have to say it.
I thought they did.
That's what I thought. Apparently you don't. See what we didn't learn?
That's what Hollywood will do to you.
Yeah. You focus on these things. Yeah.
There's a cop conspiracy.
Yeah. I don't know if that's something you grow up with in the Amish country, but out here it's a main part of our learning process.
Yeah.
how to pick up a whore. Sure. All right, Sally?
Yes?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi. I was wondering where aqueous transmissions came from, because honestly, I cried. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. That was a pretty interesting track for us, obviously. Mike actually got a weird instrument called a pipa from Steve Vai.
He worked with Bjork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Steve Vai?
No.
Or Mike?
Steve Vai used to play in Whitesnake, you know, Frank Zappa.
He's a pretty good guitar player.
A little bit before your time.
And, Mike went over there and hung out with him for a little while and got this instrument, and Steve Vai said, hey, you know, you gotta use this thing. Mm-hmm. So Mike came home and started playing with it, and there you go. Came up with a cool track. He put a cool beat behind it, and then we had Susie, our faithful composer, come in and put some strings to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
what kind of instrument is it?
It's a plucked Chinese stringed instrument. I think it's a four-stringed instrument. It's
kind of like a guitar?
It's kind of like a guitar, but it's a cross between maybe a guitar and a mandolin.
So it's smaller.
Odd-shaped, sort of Asian instrument. It has a very kind of...
What's that Russian one that's sort of triangular?
Balalaika.
Was it like that?
But it's a pretty visual track, and Brandon had some pretty visual lyrics to it, and it ended up on the album.
It sounded really emotional. I just broke down almost.
Wow.
Yeah. But
me too. I cry sometimes.
Oh. Do all of you guys like Bjork or are...
Yes.
All of you?
Yeah.
Cool.
She's a weird chick, but I like her music.
She's pretty. I like her.
Yeah, she's really nuts, though, right?
Yeah, she wore a swan.
That was pretty interesting.
Look, I met her once, and she had, like, some little battery-operated thing that was, like, hooked up to her that she claimed was energizing her or doing something. I mean, she's really super weird, not just... kind of funky.
Like artsy weird.
Not Silver Lake artsy. No, not. I mean,
not artsy
the
weird.
Next, well,
the
artsy
next
weird.
Level?
Artsy weird times
like
two.
Like it's legitimate. Like.
Yes, right, right. It's not, right. It's not like the dudes you went to high school with who are wearing the velour Kennington shirts and the bad OP shorts who you run into 5 years later and their hair's jet black and they got a lot of silver on and they're trying to cop the scene, you know, and you go, listen, geeko. I knew you when you were wearing the Reds batting helmet to school, for Christ's sake, you puss. Now you're super cool. That's poser weird. She's really super legitimately artsy weird.
Yeah.
Ojai weird.
Yeah, she may be Ojai weird. What are you making fun of Ojai for?
I'm not making fun of it.
Do you know the guys in Queens of the Stone Age? Have you met them?
Yes, we have had Queens of the
Stone Age. Because they've got this Palm Desert 29 Palms thing going on, because I guess some of them live out there, they have their own music scene. And I always found that very strange, because you got nothing but I think it's a marine base.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of weird people who choose to live in the desert, you know, by choice.
Yeah, that is a certain breed of cat, the guys who they have no problem with that 129 degree weather, because it's dry heat. And then you ask them what they do for a living, and they're like, a roofer. And you're like, are you high? How can you do that?
I think they issue you peyote if you go live in the desert like that by choice.
Yeah, so you don't notice. Like you could pass out with your eyes open and stare at the sun, and you'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I was going back to the cars from the drag race. Going back to our cars with Michael Anthony and his brother.
You bothered him all the way out to the car.
No. So then they're walking out, and we're talking about, they mentioned this is like a big trailer, trash type of event. And his brother goes, yeah.
This is the Winter Nationals. I was at in Pomona with Dr. Bruce 2 weeks ago.
His brother goes, yeah, it's like everybody here's from Redlands.
Bruce is from Redlands. That's the beauty of it.
And of course they didn't know that. So.
Yeah, that's good.
With a sad face, I said, I'm from Redlands. And they felt very bad. Very bad.
But now, Bruce, you, that's not good etiquette. If someone makes fun of your city and you're standing there and he's in a band, you got to just let it slide.
Yeah, not me. Slapping and agree with
it. Yeah, like, Redlands. And then when you pull out of the parking lot, if like Redlands is to the left, hang a right.
No.
Get out of sight and then loop around and head to Redlands.
No, I was going for the maximal embarrassment I was going for.
At least you're not from like Hesperia.
Or Yucaipa.
Oh, Yucaipa.
Better be careful again.
Let's talk. Let's see. I want to take
you
a
know,
sex
question.
You know,
when you don't go along with my picks,
I just, want to take. I haven't taken like a good sex question.
All right, take somebody with a disease.
Let's see. Vicky?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Incubus?
Yeah.
You guys are my favorite band. I just want to tell you that. And New Skin has to be like the best song ever written.
Thank you.
Did you guys see Monsters Ball?
No.
The movie?
Heard it was good, though.
Yeah, but it's really funny because there's this one scene where this car is driving away and they have a huge Incubus sticker and you can see it so clearly.
Oh, really?
It's really cool. That's awesome.
This is neat.
And there's also another Deftones one on there, too. It's really cool. Everybody in the theater was like, hey, check it out. But anyway.
Have you seen
that?
No, but we'll check it out.
Now they're going to see it.
It's really cool. But anyway... So I need you guys' help on this. This is really crazy. Okay. I was with this guy, like, back in 10th grade. Nothing really serious happened between us, but I really developed really strong feelings for him, and I really liked him a lot. And, we became friends, and then just this past New Year's Eve, like, we kind of hooked up. Like, we were really close to having sex, but we didn't. And... I was just letting him do whatever because I've always wanted this to happen, you know? So he was the one that was taking it, like, higher and higher. But then all of a sudden, like, he stopped. And he's just like, no, we can't do this. And I'm like, what? What's going on here? So then we didn't talk for a few weeks. And
Hold on. What's going on in the background?
Oh, I have some music on. Sorry, because I don't want my dad to hear me.
What are you listening to?
Smashing Pumpkins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, turn it down. It's horribly distracting.
I'm sorry. I didn't know it was that loud.
Well, what it is you can't figure out what it is or what the song is or what the band is, and so you start getting fixated on trying to decipher that, and you can't figure out the question. So I heard the beginning part. You're Hasidic Jew, and you're dating a guy who's a Roman Catholic, and your dad, who's a rabbi, has... That's what I gleaned from the beginning part of the question. Is that...
Okay.
Is that right?
Actually, this guy's kind of like... really into Christianity.
I see.
Like, yeah.
So all right, but he's... He's trying to go as far with you as he can physically.
Yeah, it seems like it. And I was just, you know, I've wanted this to happen for a long time, so I was really happy.
And then he stopped all of a sudden.
And he's like, yeah, no, we can't do this. And I'm just like...
Did he stop because of God?
I don't know. He really didn't give me a straight answer. He was just kind of like...
Yeah. And where did he go then after that? Did he leave?
I was just like, it was just really awkward. So I just got dressed and I was just kind of like, okay, I guess I should just leave then, you know? And he just felt, he just looked like he felt really bad. But anyway, so we didn't talk for a while. And I actually ran into him the other night and things were kind of awkward. But then he called me tonight and he's like inviting me somewhere. Like he says, well, there's this thing going on. There's like some kind of little festival at his college. And so he's, like, inviting me to go to this, and I'm just really confused because it doesn't make any sense. First, he's like, no, I can't do this. I want to be friends.
How long ago did this happen?
That we hooked up?
Yeah.
Like, on New Year's Eve.
All right.
Well, why doesn't it make sense? He's not inviting you to an orgy. I mean, he's inviting you to do something. And if the guy's value system dictates that he shouldn't get so sexually involved before marriage or whatever it is he believes, then he's being consistent. So
yeah,
maybe he's a real nice guy.
No, he's got a girlfriend he's cheating
he's
on.
He's got a girlfriend?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, but like it was just really weird, though, because...
Yeah, he got a case of the guilt halfway into feeling you up. He was starting to sober up. Those Mike's Hard Lemonades were starting to wear off.
Right.
And he started to think about his old lady who was in college, and he got freaked, and he split. Then you guys went your separate ways. Long since, then he broke up with his girlfriend last week, and now he's back on the warpath.
Yeah, but it's just really bizarre because I kept, like, the whole night, the whole New Year's Eve, he just was giving me the green light, like, just, like, doing all these subtle little things.
Was he loaded?
No, not at all. He's totally sober.
Sober on New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
I don't trust his pussy.
He invited me to go to this little gathering at his friend's house, and it was...
Okay.
Does it involve the Bible?
And stuff. I'm sorry?
Is the gathering involve the reading of the Bible?
Think so. Yeah. He's pretty into his
stuff. Right. Well, that would explain why he doesn't want to do you.
Yeah. Hey, Vicky?
It's Nikki.
Nikki?
Yeah, with an N.
All right. It says Vicky up there. Sorry. Why don't you just go with him to whatever this latest thing is and see how it goes with him, all right?
Yeah, what if...
Well, listen, don't get your clothes off.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
You can. Yes, he's going to a place in French Uganda. It's called Jonestown. So, no, you go over there and... And it's French Guyana, by the way.
Go over there.
No, give him a little kiss at the end, and then you say, you know, we'll see you next time. Next date, we'll move progressively, incrementally.
Then
he'll go on another date with you. Stop arguing with me.
I'm sorry.
Just go on a date with him, would you? You like this guy. He asked you to a gig. Go with him.
Okay, well, I was just kind of confused because... You know, he stopped and then...
Okay, he
felt guilty.
He's conflicted. That's all right. Just go with him and don't get naked with him and we'll be back. Yeah. Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. Dirk Lance and DJ Kilmore are both here from Incubus. And Bruce is just trying to sell Dirk his space.
It's beautiful, though.
$10,000 he wants for this thing.
You can do that. You know, you guys have a website or something for Loveline, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, well,
technology.
Adam will tell me his email address, much less.
Well, one thing's got nothing to do with the other, but you can, I'm sure you could put that up there and get many a...
Just sell it on eBay.
Buco Dolores.
You put that on eBay and every wing nut and kook emails you for pictures for his collection of pictures of guitar.
Well, you put it up with a picture.
Left-handed Rickenbacker. What is it? What year is that?
68.
All right.
They only made one.
Try to get McCartney. Who else is a left-handed bass player?
Well, I haven't got
other than McCartney.
Is Geddy Lee left-handed?
I thought he was, but I've seen a picture of him playing right hand. Unless it was
Lanier.
Ambidextrous.
Yeah.
Could be.
All right. We will, I think we're going to hear an Incubus song, yeah?
If part you say
one.
So.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to cut a little bit short.
Part of it? Why?
Because look at the time.
Ow.
Well, skip it. We'll talk.
Then. We'll just talk.
We'll get knocked off air.
All right, well, don't play it. I'll just plug the CD.
Play in the background while you guys talk.
Play the CD, just play plug quietly. The tour. Yeah, play in the background. Yeah. Morning View is the name of the CD.
Oh, and here, look,
the
how
tour.
Appropriate.
Yeah, the tour starts on 3rd. You can find them on their web address, www.enjoyincubus.com. And off that, you can find all the dates for the concerts and stuff like that. Andrea?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have a question for Incubus.
Here they are.
Hey, guys. I love your music, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in Portland. First of all, I know you guys lived in that house in Malibu when you were recording Morning View, and I wanted to know what that was like and how it influenced your album.
It was like a fraternity without the knuckleheads.
it was beautiful. It was probably... it was the most memorable experience of my life. It was cool because you could be in a house instead of a recording studio, and when you're in a house, you have the conveniences of a house. You can get up at 4 in the morning when you've got a great idea and go and turn your instruments up to 11, you know, and any time of the day, just be creative. If you weren't creative, you could go out to the swimming pool, go down to the beach,
How long were we there total?
Four and a half months.
So just rented the house out for that whole period, huh?
Wrote and recorded an album 4.5 months.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
you should have seen this place.
Yeah, it was such a good experience. I don't think that we'll go back to a recording studio anytime soon.
But, you know, normally, I mean, you hear a lot of bands recording. They do what, I guess, Led Zeppelin did it in a castle or two and that kind of stuff. But writing the songs, you normally don't get the house, do you? I mean, that was pretty cool that... Who sprung for it? The label?
Technically, it all comes back out of our pocket. Yeah. So.
Oh, it's nice of you guys to spring for yourself that way.
We had each other on the
back. For the record, they will give you a budget. You know, we looked into it, especially Derek and Mike really looked into going into a house as opposed to going into a recording studio, and it worked out pretty much even.
Did the house have a recording studio, or did you have to set one up?
It was set up for a recording studio. It had, like, a master control room where we brought in all of our gear.
Right.
And it had a... huge, like, concert rehearsal room.
It was set up for strings and stuff like that. But this guy lived there. And so we kind of did it on the fly. Just put microphones in front of all the instruments and run some gear up there and record a record. I mean, it's all about how good your songs are.
Right.
The technology, you press play and record on the computer and, you know.
And you can hear the atmosphere of the house in this album. It's definitely apparent and influential in this album.
Wow, that must have been just a great experience.
Yeah.
Malibu is so nice. Where was it, Malibu?
On Morning View, so right at Zuma.
We can
see the beach from,
Is that the album cover?
Actually, there's right pictures of the house inside the album, and that's pretty similar to our view.
Wow.
We were actually a little bit closer to the beach than that.
Yeah. All right, hey, Andrea.
Yeah?
Are you all right?
Yeah, I was just listening to you guys talk.
All right, baby.
Can you tell me about the song Warning? I love that song. What's the inspiration?
They got to tell you next time they come on the show because we got to go to break. We're out of time.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye.
All right. We'll be right back to wrap up with Incubus. Hey. I think DJ Kilmore... And Derek for coming in here from Incubus.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. And congratulations on all the real success of the band. It's nice to it's a nice part of this show. You have people on periodically every couple of years, and they come back and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then eventually they just don't come back because they got too big. But we got Incubus right at that point.
Before
they don't come back. But really, congratulations for all the success. Morning View is the name of the CD. They're going to start the tour on the 11th of April, and they're going all over the country. So they will be in a town near you, so look for them. And Bruce, nice job. You made a nice comeback thanks to the good folks over at Dippity Doo.
You want my hair spiked for it?
Yes. Okay. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce. Say mahalo.
Laughing time is over. This.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.